The ill-drained toothsome, or what is not. The welder was welding as never before. Bright sparks and hot metal were strewn on the floor. The woman they paid to keep everything clean had once sent a card to an African queen. But this fact, however, had nothing to do with the welder's great nephew, who shrieked from the flue, "Begone, you fat turnip, begone from my life! Be you ever so clever, you puzzle my wife." His wife was a moron, as thick as the woods, and no good as chattels, and useless as goods. To the African queen she was sister and niece, but his husband he shot her to keep the peace. And the welder's third cousin had a stepson, who thought that if wives could be won, why then sons could be bought. So off he then trundled one day to the market. His car was so big there was no room to park it. In his pocket were a map and a fiver, a stoat, a small immature one he'd got for a groat, a lampshade, a bus stop, and 15 gazelles, 2 oxyacetylene hermit crab shells, an antediluvian Turkish trombone. No wonder his stomach did rumble and groan. The market was full of the oddest of folk, selling horrible pancakes that make children choke. The welder was weeping, aside and alone, for his grandfather's sister, an aged old crone, who was dyeing a blanket with antelope gore, and hoping to sell to some mad matador for scandalous profit, usurious price, who sold us forever through acres of mice. The humans wobbled horribly away as the traffic jam wound slowly o'er the lee, as the jaguars from Jupiter lay down at last to sleep, and turnkeys slunk along to lock the day. Oh, the dreamers are the sleepers, but the sleep is not the dream, or so I deem. And every little jaguar comes some day home for tea, tea with traffic jam on Jupiter, for traffic jam is cheap. For the gardeners of Jupiter are fair. The seeds fall softly from their velvet hands, lying 12 months in the rubble till the first small shoots appear to burgeon forth in blossoms fresh and rare. But the seeds are not the flowers, and the flowers not the seeds, or so one reads. And the jaguars of Jupiter are known in many lands for skill with plants and maiden art. Their expertise is clear. But no! He could not ever break the spell that deemed him ever to be small and thin, to wobble ever horribly and breathe the fetid air. He couldn't really stand the movement or the smell, but the move is at a standstill, and he shuns the standard move. This I shall prove. His eyeballs shot a thunderbolt, his armpit gran a grin, yet doubt it not who dare, for doubt foredooms despair. Oh, the dreamers are the sleepers, but the sleep is not the dream. Will the swallows ever sleep again? For the sloop is not the schooner, nor the yacht the quinquereme. Is it swift enough to plough the main? Will the swallows sleep again? Oh, the spider may fly, and the fly may fly away. The web will not, I say, be spun anew. Yet to spin is to the spinster, as the day star is to day, and the curfew to the cur, at least a few. The web will not be spun anew. If wafers feed waifs, name me widower's fate, for windows eat wind, and waiters do wait. But what of the orphans that wait at the gate for the old orphan grinder who turned up too late? Name me the fate of the mad potentate, nor shall you hear of the welder's new mate, whose tale is sadder than I can relate, although I have spoken in words of 8. So the workers are the waiters, but the wait is not the work. Weld me to the writing or the wall, and I'll dream my life away until the coming of the Turk, till the rising of the empire or the fall. Is there writing on the wall? For his trumpet is a limpet, but his limp is not a trump. It gives a melancholy note. Yet to note is not to notice, and to slide is not to slump. The groaning grebe is not a goat that gives a merry note. If aught of love should make her heart despair, she would as lief have left her native home. If aught of home should make her linger there, then none but love would make her want to roam. If sighs and weeping hours had brought her joy, if joy had brought her sighs and sleeping flowers, then creeping cowards that took her home to Troy would have to bring it back, such are their powers. But powerless she lay, her heart a-torn in twain, long hours forlorn she dreamt of torments dire, and hope, though not enough, is not in vain, and pain could not put out her heart's eternal fire. Once, long ago, when but a lissom lass, a winsome wench, she met a gladsome lad, both northerners, they frolicked in the grass. Now she's a mum, and he, of course, a dad. Now she's a wife, but he, alas, is gone. What shall a poor wench do in such a strait? When children went, she took Aladdin on a fishing trip. They used the lamp as bait. And when the day was over, Venus came, clothed but in seaweed and her native hair. Her foot caught in the lamp. It made her lame and sing a wild, lugubrious Cornish air. O Venus, how your sorrowed heart was rent when stormy Vulcan rent your rings and fields, and Constance Plank was judged too thick and sent where aught but love could catch the heart that yields. In the evening came the cycles, through the mist they spun unerring, round and round their eyeballs rolling, bowling, holing, uncontrolling, howling, hairy demoniacals. As the footfalls sounded softly, as the snowflakes fell like faces fleeing from some unknown kingdom treed by sycamore and linden, by the poplar soaring loftly. But the branches swaying sadly seemed to sing the saddest music, chanted by some noisome lecher who away would gladly fetch her on his tandem madly. But when morning dawned, the fair one seemed to vanish in the brightness. Oh, eschew Medusa's gaze, sing again sweet Lethe's praise, a German physicist called Erwan. In its cycle came the evening, on the haystack slept St. Michael. Bravely groan the sad Amen, or sing of Robin's merry men and their unwholesome evening. Au revoir. May the cycle chain be shattered. May the unfat calf be fattered, as if it really mattered. Let me know the day before you promise to forget, for I would write you long, long sonnets in the trees where chimpanzees and marmosets recline and take their ease. The trees are where we parted, the trees are where we met. Long will I remember that you never will return. Your sight still fills my mind, your memories my eyes. The sorrows of the universe are of a constant size. The sighs show we are martyred, the sighs show how we yearn. But isn't this the yearning, what we yearn to feel within? And we yearn to show without the things that inly burn. For without the burning show, what things can any learn? And yet, without the food of love, I should grow thin. Trees are where we started, and trees are where we'll stop to pick the mellow apricot, the acrid mangosteen. Next summer you'll return to me, and we will not be seen, lest the keeper of the oast house should catch us on the hop. So tell me when you want to go, and I shall go before. I'd not prolong your staying, if your heart is set elsewhere. But before you go, I'll tell you that you're rotten to the core. Had you been a fairer love, I could have loved you more. I would have loved it more had your lover been as fair. Deep in the dripping forests of Rangoon, the mongoose creeps. Lured by the languorous bassoon, the glowworm sleeps, and every creature fears the wild raccoon. Soon in the flaming summers of Iraq, a flautist lurks, awaiting the silence of the dark to play the works, the secret curfew works of J.S. Bach. Far in the vapid vortices of Ind, the Hindu stays. His body racked by spates of wind, he longs to graze in silent, wispy fields, but not rescind. High in the hanging heat of hell, the camel swings, eating cakes of caramel, and sweetly sings supposed songs that camels all know well. Then, in the mangrove swamps of far Cathay, where we were born, a mile along the road to Mandalay, the unicorn devised this irreligious roundelay. Many long years, with lute and lyre in hand, the bard was barred from writing sonnet in the sand. The lard was hard. It melts when all the people understand. Oh, had I Janus in my grip, then I would build, for I am skilled and never make a slip. Oh, had I Etna in my grasp, then I would write till Guy Fawkes' night of Cleopatra's asp. Or should Electra grace my house and feed the fire of my desire, then I would never grouse. Reverse the hearse, rehearse the verse, reveal the peal, repeal the veal. Imperatives are terse. Pejoratives are worse for those who cannot feel the wheel, who squirm and squint but never squeal, or scatter far like frightened teal. For them I save my hearse. Oh, were sweet Helen here with me, then she and I would purify our early morning tea. Oh, dappled Daphne, stay in Rome, for laurel shrubs make hardy scrubs, and bloom around our home. So should a Grecian goddess come, her I would strangle in the mangle, and pickle her in rum. Au revoir. Oh, lady, when compared with you, the ocean hardly strikes me blue, and nor do you. From Turkestan and Samarkand with opal eyes they came, on his charger Maximilian, on his horse without a name, young Sophocles his nephew, and on a cow called Kate the Tartars came a-storming by. They feared they would be late. They stumbled through the Caucasus, a wilderness, a mire, a luckless land that every year is swept across by fire. Meanwhile the Turks were moving up from deepest Ethiope. Beside them rode young Migraine on a silver calliope. His trusty shaft swung low about his strong and subtle neck, bounced back upon the buccaneer who, born in far Quebec, where all the folk are charlatans and sell their sons for slaves, was bathing in a highland beck and washing in the waves. But now the Mongols charging came, and wrought with swords of steel, such blows as those of goodness knows who defter blows can deal. And careless Kurds, that use no words but those of Catalan, rehearsed the verse that bodes the worst for woman, child, and man, and bodes worse still in far Brazil for pumas and their ilk. Now Goths and Huns, their many sons, came bringing curdled milk, and Teutons brave, that rant and rave, and vicious Visigoths, then Slavs and Czechs with broken necks who rode on sacred moths, shout high for one and high for all, usurp the tyrant of Nepal, and spoil his beer with froths. From Burma far and Kilimanjaro the kings of Carthage came, with 50,000 slave girls who, with hearts and eyes aflame, with thoughts of hope and hopes of thought, etc., as you know, were ransomed for a crown of gold and adamantine glow. So all the hordes of conquerors that teemed throughout the land were thwarted, nay, aborted. Chaos strangled all they'd planned, the kings they willed, and all were killed. Across the silent plain, on the shells of would-be heroes, fell the darkness, fell the rain. April days is here again, and May may soon be on its way, curdled now the milky one that Juno's breast did spray. And duly stunned the creamy one, or gusty winds that ever blow through the empty nebulae, dismembering the honeyed foe. The thunderous knights of February came marching to the northern march. No vent bereaves them of their air, they jam no airy pie with starch. In the transept embers flare, foot's October reft of limbs, wading through the miry fen, we hum the honeyed hymns. Yes, April days is here again.